Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Hey, shalom, shalom, shalom. Grace and peace, family. Grace and peace. Thank you for tuning in. How y'all doing today?
Shalom.
Hey. Shalom, sis. Shalom, family. Shalom to the brothers and sisters that's near and far. Thank you for tuning into the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. I am the teacher tonight. And the reader tonight is Brother Nakomi Swanson, a.k.a. Lil Israel. You on board with me today, bro?
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, bro. Grace and peace.
Shalom. Grace and peace.
All right, shalom. Grace and peace. All right, grace and peace, family. I will be doing a, I don't even know what you call it. Well, Brother Joseph Surreal, they will be joining us shortly, later on doing the precept. But it's not a long precept, brothers and sisters. You know, it's just a couple of things to put to bring to the table to help brothers and sisters on, you know, on being a better servant of God, you know, in all areas, not just some areas, but all areas. And, you know, the name of the precept tonight is called The Lackadaisical Spirit of Cain. One more time. The name of, well, the name of the precept is called The Lackadaisical Spirit of Cain. And you know, and the definition of that is nothing but lacking enthusiasm and determination, or just quote unquote lazy. You know, and the reason why we're using Cain is because we're using the beginning part of his story. You know, because when Cain and Abel came up to the Most High God, you know, Abel brought the best of whatever he had and gave it to the Most High. But Cain, I mean, he showed up. You know, he showed up, he did his thing or whatever. But the same point in time is the Lord had no respect into his offering because it wasn't his best. You know, and if it's not his best, then of course it's obvious the Lord would not accept it. And that answered the question for a lot of brothers and sisters in this time frame. Why, when we do things, it don't go as well as planned. It could be a whole bunch of other things as well, too. But the one we're dealing with today is when you put forth a talent, song, precept, work in the vineyard, you're an artist, you do poetry, you do R&B, rap, whatever. Sometimes those things don't really push forward a part for the ministry, for the body of Christ, is because we lack enthusiasm. And we might not take it as seriously as we should, because we need to understand that this part of the body is the exact same thing we need to do when we're dealing with the scriptures. Or like if you're a teacher, or if you're a preacher, you know, evangelist, whatever, a reader, whatever your work is in the vineyard, it is very important for us to make sure we don't have this spirit that's lacking on us, as the lackadaisical spirit of Cain, which is a lacking enthusiasm and lazy. So whatever we do, we need to put our hands, whatever our hands is at, we need to make sure it goes 100 for the Father. You know, ain't no such thing as, well, I'm working on this a little bit. I don't feel like working on it. But here, I'm just going to get a little of this. It ain't going to go right for you. You know? Well, if the Lord gave you the understanding on, like, computer stuff when it come with dealing with precepts or audio or something like that. You know, anything you do, man, I honestly believe that we should put in our most fourth effort into putting it in for the Most High. You know, because that's how it got to be for it to work. So it's not a long precept at all. It's just a couple of things that I would like to bring to the table. And also, before we get started, I really do have to apologize, brothers and sisters. I have to apologize from last week's precept. Last week's precept is because when I was looking through it, well, not looking through it, but when I was listening to the precept, I kind of saw what gave my own philosophy on a definition. You know, because the precept that we did, was called Satan listens to our conversation. Yay. He might ask for a trial. And we went into the scriptures when Peter was talking to Jesus. And, you know, and he said, Lord, I was ready to go. You know, I was ready to die. I was ready to die for you. I'm ready to go and do this thing with you. You know, and during that precept, I said that he made somewhat of a promise. And if he made a promise, he made it a vow. When I looked at the definitions, they were completely different. So I cannot say that Peter made a vow or some type of promise. Ready just means he's enthusiastic and he's down for it. But it never said he promised or vowed anything. So I need to clear that matter up before somebody blood tap on my shoulders. So I do apologize for that. So now getting back with this precept. The name of it, one more time, in case any new listeners coming in, is called the Lackadaisical Spirit of Cain. And the word lackadaisical is spelled L-A-C-K-A-D-A-I-S-I-C-A-L. One more time. L-A-C-K-A-D-A-I-S-I-C-A-L. The lackadaisical spirit of Cain. So I'm going to start this out in the Lord's Prayer. Then Brother McCombie can read whatever the Father put on his heart. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. They that fear the Lord shall find judgment, and shall kindle justice as a light. A sinful man will not be reproved, but findeth an excuse according to his will. A man of counsel will be considerate. But a strange and proud man is not daunted with fear, even when of himself he hath done without counsel. Do nothing without advice, and when thou hast once done, repent not. Go not in the way wherein thou mayest fall, and stumble not among the stones. Be not confident in a plain way, and beware of thine own children. In every good work trust thy own soul, for this is the keeping of the commandments. He that believeth in the Lord taketh heed to the commandment, and he that trusteth in him shall fare never the worse. I've read Ecclesiasticus chapter 32, verses 16 to 24. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, bro. And you know what, Brother Comey? Hey, hold on to that scripture. We're going to use that for the last one, for this precept. I really do like that one. That's a really good one.
Oh.
Can you hold that down for me for the last one?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Okay, cool. And also, Nakomi, we're going to be grabbing one script from the book of Jasher, just one scripture. Is that, you got your book ready for that?
Let me get it. Yeah, I got it.
It's just one.
Okay.
You know, the only reason why we're using it is because we have more than one witness that testified with the Book of Jasher from the scripture.
Yeah, yeah,
so we
okay.
go pull one out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Give a second. Get it.
No, I got it.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Amen. Mm. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to get into this precept. You know, and it's just to be mindful and to give God a more level of a respect, you know, because you just can't be just offering anything up to him, you know, or if it's your work in the vineyard with it other than the scriptures. You know, if you, like, write a poetry for the Most High, you know, if you are an artist, you know, a rapper or whatever, you know, or matter of fact, or even teaching or being a teacher or evangelist, you know what I'm saying, or a reader, it's best to give all. Because by you giving your all, the Lord can add on to your talent. Because one thing that irritates me to the top is core is when I'm guessing work in the vineyard I want to do, either be for like a Bible lesson or reading, or even my Bible artwork that the Most High has allowed me to do. What really irritates my soul is when somebody just slaps something together and not dying for what they believe in. I'm talking about to the point that how you feel about the scriptures is the exact same way you should feel about the other things that the Most High God has put in front of a servant's face. His servant's face. Because I don't like that half-ass work in the vineyard. I know certain situations happen one or two times or maybe three times. But all together, man, we should really, really, really put our best forth and effort into anything we're doing for the Most High God. You think Brother McComb will ask me to read for him if I'm always 15 minutes late? Do you think Brother Joe and Sister Rhea be texting and asking me, hey, you going to do a precept Thursday if I'm 25, 30 minutes late every round? Do you think people will ask you to read if it's constantly hay-vocking noise in the back of the background when they're trying to read? It's because everybody that say that they love God and try to do this thing right will have a little bit more respect when it comes to the work in the vineyard. You know, if we go to church on a Sabbath day, we'll be all nice and quiet as church mouses. We should be the exact same way with this. It should be the exact same way if you do poetry or rap or whatever. However way that you show respect for the classes is the exact same way we should be showing respect to the other things that matter for the body of Christ. No half-assing. If you go do it, do it with all your might. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Genesis chapter 4. The book of Genesis chapter 4. The book of Genesis chapter 4. And what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 1, the book of Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up at verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 5.
Genesis 4 and 1.
Amen.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
Right, because you got to understand, man, you know, even if you do appear in front of the Lord and want to give him something in return because his mercy endures forever, no matter what it is. But if you say you go do something for God, ain't no such thing as you giving him secondhand work. No secondhand praise. Ain't no such thing as that, because you were better off not even saying nothing at all. Because when the Most High allowed me to do my thing with the artwork, man, I'm not, you know, I'm just using myself in this matter because I do it for good and bad. But when I put forth my hand in the vineyard for the work of the Most High, when it comes to the artwork and all this other kind of stuff, man, I'm going to give you my best. If Nakomi or Job, one of the other brothers, asked me to read for, I'm going to give them my best. You know, if somebody asks me to fill in, do a precept for them, I'm not going to bury a state radio show. And we should do that. We shouldn't even do that with others either. Because if you decide you want to put your hand to do something right for the Most High God, don't be slacking and half-assing him. Give him your all. Give him your best. Because he well deserves it. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And all we want is verse 23. The book of Colossians chapter 3, and all we want is verse 23. And let me see. Oh, 1 second. We can read verses 23 and 24.
Okay. Colossians 3 and 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
Right, now you got to put this thing on a pedestal right here. It's in verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. You know, because we can break our neck and break our bones for our bosses. You know, if it's a little girl you think is pretty or cute, you want to impress her big time. You know, if you're an athlete, you want to put on your best performance to impress everybody that's watching you on national TV. But if you're a servant of God, we don't care about that stuff, because we want to impress the Most High God. So our work in the vineyard that pertains to the pages of this book will be phenomenal just to impress the Father. So we go put our forth and effort and strength into impressing God rather than trying to impress a man that can't even get you across the street, let alone in God's kingdom. So let's be mindful of that, because Cain didn't take heed to that. He didn't give all his best to God. He gave him secondary work, secondary best, maybe third. But it wasn't the best of his ability. So let's break this thing down. And it's very interesting, too. It's very interesting. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Jasher, the book of Jasher chapter 1. And what we're going to do is read verses 15 and 16. And we're going to break a definition down to understand what Cain really brought to that table to show you it wasn't his best. So we're in the book of Jasher chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 15 through 16.
Okay. I'm going to say my Jasher don't break it down in verse 15 and 16.
Oh, you said it don't?
No, it just got one chapter
Oh, okay. I feel you. Well, I don't even know how yours is set up, because I got the book that Sister Mary gave us, but that's put up on that side. I don't want to take that stuff down. Well, let me see. Let's see if I can grab this book. Okay, well, since this chapter 1, you think you could scroll down until when they did their offering?
Okay, let me see. see.
When Cain and Abel did their offering, it should be somewhere in the middle of that first one chapter you get.
His wife. No, I'm saying you must have a different one. You must have a different Jasper. Let's see.
Because I got this book downloaded. It started the Old Testament, then it got the New Testament,
okay.
And then mine is in green. It goes all the way up to First Ezra, all the way down to Second Maccabees, and at the bottom it got the brown highlights, like the Book of Enoch, Jubilees, and Jasher.
Well, line says the boys grew up and their father gave them possession in the land. Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of sheep.
Okay, because man got, and it was at the expiration of a few years that they brought an approximately offering to the Lord, and Cain brought from the fruit of the ground. Abel brought,
Yeah, because like I'm saying, most people don't have the same one. So I don't know.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. All right, well, then I'll just read this one then. We can probably put me up on game on Jasher, on the one you have. Because I know I downloaded it. I think it had this with it with the Apophica. Okay, so I'm going to read this one. And it was at the expiration of a few years that they brought an approximately offering to the Lord, and Cain brought from the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought from the firstlings of his flock from the fat thereof. And God turned and inclined to Abel and his offering, and a fire came down from the Lord from heaven and consumed it. And unto Cain and his offering the Lord did not turn, and he did not incline to it, for he had brought from the inferior fruit of the ground before the Lord. And Cain was jealous against his brother Abel on account of this, and he sought a pretext to slay him. Now, what I really want to get about here is the definition of inferior. The definition of inferior, when it came to Cain's offering, the definition of inferior in the adjective, it means lower in rank, status, or quality. The synonyms: lesser, second class, minor, subvient, which means less important, subordinate, lowly, which means low in status or importance. So what Cain lacked, he lacked giving God his all. And when it said it was inferior, it just simply means it wasn't 100% his best work, but it was more of a second to third class offering for the Most High God. So the Lord didn't have, he had absolutely no interest in what Cain was bringing to the table, according to the thing that I read. But what I really want to get about it is that definition of inferior. Because you can't call, even if you do appear in front of the Most High God, even if you think you're doing everything right, you know, you believe what you want, but you know your fruits that you bear will tell your story. You just can't give God anything. And even if you do give it to him, please make sure it's your best. It has to be our best. Cannot be no secondhand nature. No secondhand. So what we're going to do is go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And what we're going to do is read verses 10, and then we're going to skip down to verse 12. Just those two verses.
Ecclesiastes 9, starting at the 10. whatsoever thy findest to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, no knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest.
Right, so it said, whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor devices, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You know, so this is not no thing for you to wait until you get old to try to serve God and think you go get something straight or get something right. You know, the Most High God give you a vision or a thought to do something for him for the purpose of the Father. You know, to give you your own personal work in the vineyard. Whatever the Most High give you, whatever talent or whatever it might be, it is very, very important to make sure you do that with your might, because after you die, there's no more work in the vineyard, and your chapter is closed up, whether to everlasting life or shame or everlasting contempt. You know, so the whole thing is that whatever you put in your hands to do for the Father, make sure you do it with your might. Because once you die, that's it. There's no more writing about you. And it has been already determined if you're going to make it to the kingdom or not. Let's skip down to verse 12.
12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them.
And that is very interesting. That is a beautiful, well-spoken metaphor. So, you know, when King Solomon is talking to us right now, man, he's putting us in the a metaphorical way as a fish. You know, when a fish is out and about with they two to three million fishes, and they just flying they just swimming in the water, you know, that's just like us. We just out and about with our life. But that neck that's coming down into that water, it's just basically, you might as well use another way of the Lord coming to take the breath of life from you. Just like how they just flying in 1 second, they in the net, going to the slaughterhouse, about to die. The same thing that's going to happen to us. They was flying, they was swimming in the water. They didn't know that was their last breath they was going to take. Or a bird that get caught in a snare or something like that. They don't, when they flying out in the battle, wake up in the morning, they do not know that they're about to lose their life. So that's how we should be. We should understand that every single day might be our last. Because we don't nobody know what day is determined that they're going to lose it. So just like how the fish is being caught up in them nets, or how a bird get caught up in a snare, it's the exact same way how we should be walking every single day, because we don't know what appointed time the Lord will take the breath of life from us. So whatever the Father put in your heart, don't try to push it and blow it off for a couple of days. Do it with your might, because you might not get the chance or opportunity to get it done again. So whatever you do, do it with your might, because you don't know what time your clock is going to stop. Let's be mindful of that. So what we're going to do now is go into the book of Matthew chapter 25, because we just read something very interesting on doing it with your might, because you don't know when you're going to die. So what we're going to do is look at the talents. And we're going to stop for a second and break some stuff down, because it could get a bit confusing for the Hebrew community, for the brothers and sisters. So what we're going to do is break this thing down. I'm going to stop the precept or break something down, and then we're going to go back into the scriptures. But first thing we're going to do is go into the book of Matthew chapter 25. The book of Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read up on these talents. Because when people look at these talents, they automatically assume and believe that this is talking about, you know, being a pastor, elder, teacher, and stuff like that. And they don't want to give no love to the brothers and sisters that's doing the work according to music and other stuff, etc. But what we're going to do is break this thing down and use common sense with it. And then we're going to get back into the precept so we understand what's going on. So we're in the book of Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read verse 15. We're going to read verses 15 through 30 so we can read these talents and understand how we steward with our might, as our big brother King Solomon has told us. So we're in the book of Matthew 25, verses 15 through 30. When you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 25, starting at the 15.
And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and did in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, can.
Okay, cool. Yeah, my Bluetooth just went out. I'm sorry. great reading. Forgive me. Because I was talking and my thing to say, power off. I just had to power back on. All right, amen. Great reading, Brother McCombie, on that one. Good stuff. So now, it's very, very, very important, Brother Sisters, for us to open our mind up and use basic common sense. You know, because with certain people use these scriptures that we just read from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 15 through 30, a lot of people like to put these talents in a category as the work in the vineyard, like, you know, a pastor, teacher, or reading, stuff like that. So what we're going to do is keep a marker here. Keep your marker in the book of Matthew 25, because we might come back here. But what we're going to do is break this thing down with basic common sense. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. And what we're going to do is read verses 7 through 12. And we're going to break these two things down to show you that they are different in certain areas. You get it, big bro? Go ahead and read.
Ephesians chapter 4, starting at the 7.
Yes, sir.
Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets
and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
All right, amen. You see, now this is where, you know, we got to stop and just use the, you know, use the brain power the Most High God has allowed us to use. You see, now what we just read here in the book of Ephesians is the actual talents that the Lord gave a priest, you know what I'm saying, to serve the Most High God, whether it be women or men. You know what I'm saying? For the work that he gave us when he went back on high, because he descended first and gave us the message to show us that there is a Father in heaven. And when he went back up, he gave everybody their percentage for the body of Christ. But what we don't look at is that these are five he gave us. The first one is apostle, that's one. Prophets, two. Evangelists, three. Pastors, four. Teachers, five. Those are five talents that is given for the body of Christ to edify the children of Israel and those who have an ear to hear. But the conversation is different from the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And the reason why that conversation is different is because one man had five talents and gained another five to make ten. And the slothful servant who decided not to use his talent and have a bogus, lame excuse to give to God, the Lord took his talent and gave it to the man who had the other five. So if he had five and gained five more, that makes ten, and he took the talent from the lazy man and gave it to the man that had the ten talents, how many does he have? 11. But when you go into the book of Ephesians, you only see five talents. So how is it that these are the exact same things that's written in the book of Matthew, chapter 25? Have any of us ever considered that? Because if the conversation was as we speak as in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, just them five talents, then what is these other talents that this man or woman is having that was able to boost up with another five talents? The answer to that is because there are other things that pertain to the body of Christ other than being a pastor, an elder, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet, and teachers. You're going to have people that's going to change the hearts of men to righteousness through your rap music, your poetry, your artwork. You know, definitely the fruits of the Spirit. You know, what if you wasn't born with a silver spoon in your mouth? You know, you're going through hard times in life and stuff like that. You're trying to seek and serve God. And you come past John Boy, or Beloved Duval, or Peasy, or Peasy, the brothers that's doing the rap music, that rap about things like that on turning back to God, even when times is hard. Don't you know that that is actually helping the brothers and sisters to become better servants of God? Or like me with the art, or me with the artwork, or other people that do artwork for God. Don't you know that that also helped the people in the body of Christ to push them more further into serving God? Because remember, in order to deceive people, you got to change the image. Because then the book of Maccabees said that they sought to change our faces and make them to their own. So we need to understand that those works in the vineyard with the music and the art and other things are just as important as the other things that's written in the book of Ephesians about the five talents. Why? Let's find this thing out. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Is because it's in plain sight to show us that These talents are just as important as the other ones as well. Because whatever God put in your hand to do, you need, we need to look at it and respect it as much as the other. So what we're going to do is go into the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. And what we're going to do is read verses 14 through 23. 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 through 23. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
1 Samuel chapter 16, 14 through 23, starting at 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of that war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messenger unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him.
Oh, that's very interesting. Very, very interesting. That's very, 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 very interesting. It's like, it's so many ways of breaking this thing down. But I'm not going to hold y'all hostage, so I'm just going to break down a couple of them. Now, let's look at this thing here. Now, we read the book of Matthew chapter 25 about these talents, right? You know, it didn't went to the book of Ephesians, but the book of Ephesians gave us only five talents. But the Lord said a man in the book of Matthew 25, the Lord said a man could have five talents, and he could double up another portion of five. And if anybody in this world is lacking something after the Lord gave him something, he will take it from him and give it to the one that's doing excellent work in the vineyard for the Father. So then now we have brothers and sisters might end up with 10, 12, 13 talents. But what really caught my attention in this conversation with the servants of Saul, Saul was attacked by an evil spirit from God. His servants was able to identify that there was a wicked spirit on Saul. But the light bulb popped in my head. How come they didn't grab the scrolls of Moses or the scrolls of Joshua or get the Levitical priesthood to pray this spirit off of Saul? How come they didn't do none of that stuff? How come the whole synagogue didn't fast for him? Or the righteous people to offer up a sacrifice to God to take the spirit off him? How come nobody read the laws of Moses, or wasn't nobody praying and stuff like that over him? Because at that appointed time, another part of your talent took place. Not the place of a pastor, not the place of a teacher or elder, evangelist, or none of those beautiful things. At that appointed time, your other talent took place, which is music or art or poetry or rap. So King David had a harp. Did he have the spirit of Cain on him? Was David lacking enthusiasm and determination, or was he lazy with that harp? No. I bet you King David was a badass spade playing that harp because he took that talent very seriously. So after that spirit attacks King Saul, David came through and played the harp. And that very talent that King David had was able to cast a devil out. Because that's also a talent that God gives to men. So it makes you think how important it is at the music we listen to. Because we have music that can cast out devils, and we also have music that can cast devils. So I got to work a little hard on that, because sometimes I listen to that Rick Ross and all that type of stuff, working out and going to work and stuff. I got to find a way to cut that stuff out. But when I do take the time out and really listen to the music that's really soothing to my spirit, it up my spirits up, making me a very happy person just by the music I listen to. But if I'm listening to something hardcore or doing some danger or hurt to somebody, then it can that action and that feeling and that spirit can creep up at me at that appointed time. So don't sit up here and tell me that we secondary a musician or an artist or anybody in that particular position. Because what they got to bring to the table is just as important as the things that we bring to the table. Because David just showed us what the Lord allowed David to show us in the Bible, that playing music, being always on it, wasn't lazy with it, that was able to cast out a devil. So what we learned here is that if he puts some of your power, if he puts some of your position, do it wholeheartedly. Don't be lacking. Do it with your might. Then God can use you to play your music or that other talent to go help out somebody else. What if somebody got suicidal thoughts or something? You know, what if life is just so hard on them and they go bump up one of these truth music rappers? Or a brother or sister in the truth with the poetry and the poem writing and stuff like that. That just might cast that devil off of them and bring that person a little bit more closer to God. But how can that happen if we have a lackadaisical spirit of Cain? You don't take it serious. You know, it's not that important to you. You'd rather be in a class with your best outfit on the Sabbath classes, and think that that's the only way that you go get salvation or everlasting life. Those things ought not to be. Because do we ever realize, have we ever sat down and considered, brothers and sisters, how many brothers and sisters that don't take hold of their talents like David did? Do you know how many brothers I come across and sisters I come across that said that, man, it's like when I put my artwork online sometimes. You know, sometimes they'll send me a text message on Messenger or on the actual page that was like, they'd be like, man, bro, man, hey, do you do your thing, man? You know, by me watching you draw, man, if you want to go grab my old art book, I haven't drawn in years. I gave it up. And I show text them and be like, man, you better pick that damn paper up. You said you paint, you better go back and watercolor it up. Because you don't let that talent fall. And don't let no man use his philosophy or his own way of thinking to try to change your heart. So these things, we have to be very careful on these things. because people don't take this serious enough because we don't really talk about it. But this plays a big part of, in the picture, just as the other things do. So let's be mindful on that. So what we're going to do now is go into the book of Proverbs chapter 6. The book of Proverbs chapter 6. The book of Proverbs chapter 6, and all we want is verse 6. Proverbs 6 and 6, that one verse. If you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 6 and 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise.
Right. Now, this is enough information. This is enough information for you to check out the Discovery Channel with Animal Planet. Or if you just go to any glossary or definition on an ant. You know, we're so spoiled in this modern time. All you got to do is go on to Google, and Google in ant. What is the definition of ant? And as soon as you click that, you know you got your images, you got your videos. You can click on the video, and it'll tell you every single thing you need to know about an ant. And we look at an ant, they're continuously working. Work, 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 work. Right? They always working, right? They always working. Now let's trip our minds up a little bit. Remember, it just said, I'm adding this in. Remember, the book of Proverbs 6 and 6 just said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, right? But now let's go into the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And what we're going to do is read verse 12, just that one verse, and we're going to trip ourselves up a little bit. Ecclesiastes 12 and 12, bro. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Ecclesiastes 12 and 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh.
But the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and 6 told us to go to the end. Isn't the end always working in the vineyard? But then we turned around in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 12 and said, too much studying is a weariness of the flesh. So is the Bible contradicting itself? Or are there other talents that pertain to the body of Christ? You can read your Bible. You can do lessons. You can study and meditate in the Bible. But there's a certain time you need to put that down and go work on other things that pertain to the body of Christ. You could be in the book reading, stuff like that, but what if you're a rapper? Or, you know, what if you're a rapper for the Most High God? You know, you're doing your thing for the Most High. You know, you could read something, take your time on that, you know, a couple hours or however way you see fit, then put it down and go in the studio. And start recording and start bumping stuff for the Most High God. What if that rapper do poetry too? After you finish rapping, okay, cool, let me go ahead and grab my book and let me see if I can do some poetry to help my brothers and sisters out. Or the things that have been bothering me in my heart. Right? And would you get done with that? Well, let me go ahead and go feed the poor. I got a couple of bread left. Let me go see how they doing. Oh, man, brother Joe Blow been sick. Let me go ahead and check my brother out. If you do it that way, that means the Bible will not be a weariness to the flesh. What that means is that you took heed to the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and 6 when the Bible said to go to the ant and consider her ways. An ant is always busy in the vineyard. Now you read your Bible, take a time out on that, go in the studio, take a time out on that. You do poetry too. Do that. Put that on timeout. Go to the pole. When you get done with that, take that a timeout. Go visit your brothers and sisters. Maybe somebody's sick. You do that. Take a timeout. Somebody might be in prison. You do that. Take a timeout. Then go back to the Bible and start that process over again. Now you're going to the end and considering her ways. Because I don't understand how brothers and sisters can actually put this Ecclesiastes 12 and 12 and throw the Apocrypha, that beautiful book, into this. This just telling us to learn how to put the damn book down sometimes and work on other things that pertain to Christ. So let's be mindful of that. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 13. The book of Proverbs chapter 13. The book of Proverbs 13. The book of Proverbs 13. And what we're going to do is read verse 4. 13 and 4. 13, the book of Proverbs chapter 13. And all we want is verse 4. When you get a book, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 13 and 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat.
Right. So a lazy man that don't take this work in the vineyard serious, or just anything that can help you as a person. If you're lazy, or you got that lazy testicle spirit as Cain had when he did his offering to God, when you got that lazy spirit on you, you could desire to have good things all you want, but you won't have it because you're too lazy to perform them. But a person that's not lazy to perform them will be fat because they take care of every single thing that go in that mindset. So if you want great success in the work in the body of Christ, whatever he put in your heart to do, then we need to work hard at it. And I ain't talking about just working it one day and then just put it up for a couple months and go deal with it again. Really show God that you're trying to do all you can, because tomorrow's not promised to us, brothers and sisters. Remember, we the fish. We the birds. We don't know when that snare is coming, and we don't know when that evil net is coming to pull us out that water. Because once it do, our chapter has finished. So we need to go to the end and consider her ways as well. So now what we're going to do now is go into the book of Proverbs chapter 26. The book of Proverbs chapter 26. And we have two more after this. The book of Proverbs chapter 26. The book of Proverbs 26. And what we're going to do is read verses 13 through 16.
Proverbs 26, starting at the 13th. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doeth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, he grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason.
Right. So this is a man that always got some half-ass lazy excuse. But let me tell you some excuses. Excuses ain't nothing but monuments that lead you to nowhere. Right? So if he lazy, don't want to do nothing, you know, out there in the hot sweat, oh, there's a lion. I cannot work. Gonna figure out it's been a month past, he ain't did nothing. That lion probably been all gone or probably got in a fight and died or something like that. But they use that as an excuse so they don't have to do anything. and it'll grieve them at their mouth to even mention it and bring it up out their mouth again. God don't like us being lazy. The book even said love not sleep. How could you love sleep when there's so much work in the vineyard to do? Now let's go in the book of Proverbs chapter 24. The book of Proverbs chapter 24. And we have one more after this. The book of Proverbs 24. The book of Proverbs 24. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 30. Proverbs 24, and we're going to read verses 30 through 34.
Okay, Proverbs 24 and 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nestles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man.
All that work you could be doing, you just let it get all piled up and bushied up and thorn up. Grass ain't cut, nothing. You just look at this man, this and his environment. It's like, wow. So let me take heed to this and not to be like this type of man. Let's go into the last spot. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And after we read the last one, then Brother McCormick, could you read that scripture you opened up in the morning after we finish the last one?
Oh, okay.
All right, amen. We're in the book of Colossians chapter, in the book of Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And all we want is verse 17.
Colossians 3 and 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Amen. All praise to the Father forever in Jesus' name. Let the Father be glorified. And his work in the vineyard he get to us. May he multiply us and strengthen us to get every single thing we need to do before our time is up, before that net come get us as fishes, or we fly and get caught in the snare. Before that happens, let's hope that through the grace of God, we're able to perform all talents and the things that he has given us to do in the vineyard. I'm going to come ready whenever you are.
Okay, this is Ecclesiasticus. Chapter 32, we're going to start at the 16, and it reads, they that fear the Lord shall find judgment and shall handle justice as a light. A sinful man will not be reproved, but findeth an excuse according to his will. A man of counsel will be considerate, but a strange and proud man is not daunted with fear. Even when of himself he hath done without counsel, do nothing without advice, and when thou hast once done, repent not. Go not in the way wherein thou mayest fall, and stumble not among the stones. Be not confident in a plain way, and beware of thy own children. In every good work trust thy own soul, for he that believeth in the Lord taketh heed to the commandment. And he that trusts in him shall fear never the worse.
Amen, amen, amen. So after what McCombs just read in Ecclesiastes 32, verses 16 through 24, take heed to that, brothers and sisters. Remember, let's not have the lackadaisical spirit of Cain and just giving God a half-assed work in the vineyard, but let's give him our best. I thank y'all for your time.
Shalom, brother.
Hey, shalom, sissy.
This was a very good lesson. It absolutely went with the one Brother Nakomi did last night. Appreciate
you,
brother, for that. And Brother Nakomi, awesome reading. When you was in the book of Joshua, and you hit that first script, you was at verse 14. You was on the mic.
Oh, that means it sounded familiar.
Yep. You was on the money, Brother Nakomi. Good lesson.
Oh, thank you.
All right, now I turn things over to Brother Job and Sister Rare. Y'all online, Brother Job, Sister Rare?
Shalom.
Hey, shalom.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, Mrs. Light. Great precept, brother. A great reading, Brother Nakomi, and that
excellent reading.
That still was fire, Jack. Yeah, that should have been read three times. To be honest about it. What's left other than to get your first to go back? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What's left other than to get your first to go back?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Nothing left. You know, anything. If you don't give your first and your best, you actually wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not giving your first and your best, you actually doing yourself a disservice. You see? This is that thing. So if you give your first and your best, you actually got what God has for you. You actually, you know, doing what you're supposed to do as far as the Cain and Abel theory. You know, you give your best all the time. What do you mean? You're just being your best you. That's all it is. You're just being your best you. And you're just being your best you. And the Father's moving on you. You get what I'm saying? So, hey, be your best you at all times. You cannot afford not to be your best you. You see what I'm saying? That's the other thing. Why would you waste your time not being your best you?
Mm-hmm.
You're cheating yourself. You got better, like you read the scripture, as though you're working for God. You mean to tell me you can do better for yourself, for someone else, and you still choose not to because you can get away with it? Who you really cheating? You cheating yourself. And in the end, you're going to realize that for all eternity, you had an opportunity to give your first and your best, and you chose not to. And that goes for me and anybody else listening on this dial. We got to give a person our best at all times. That's all to it. You know, an excuse ain't nothing but a made-up lie. That's all to it. Everybody got an excuse. So let me tell you what my father feel about it. But, hey, we don't want to have that conversation God had with Cain. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear the fact that he said, this day, he would hide his face from you from all eternity. You don't want to hear that. That means you're going to the lake. Cain is going to the lake, but not giving his first and his best and being warned. What about us that's been warned? You hear what this man saying? We've been warned and we still not giving our first and best. Hey, bro, can't get enough of that. like when Sister said earlier, this lesson goes perfectly in the coming lesson yesterday, man. And great building block. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, bro.
Great lesson, man. People, if you get called into the work or if you're doing these things, you got to give them everything you've got when you're doing these things. And like I'm saying, I like how he brought that, you bring your talents in it, because a lot of people think it's all going to happen just by preaching the word and things like that. But that's why I love God shows us King David. And King David had many, many talents. And he could dance. He wrote psalms. He played instruments. He was a mighty warrior, all those things. And a lot of people don't understand that everything God got about you, even when he chose you, is nothing but bait. And there's not no one size fit all prophet or teacher that everybody's going to pay attention to. And I learned this when I first started doing this, when I first started going on TV. And some people thought I was crazy because I'm saying be out there rapping and dancing and all that. But when I would go to work and stuff, and people were like, man, you can rap. And at first I wasn't even that good, but they was amazed because they were seeing some dude that they worked with that was in the community, and they saw it, and then they was paying attention. They said, you know what you're talking about? But man, I saw you rapping, man. I just go to work, people say, man, I'll tell you, man, you funny as heck, man. We don't know what's going to come out of your mouth. So all those things, God let me understand, you funny, that's bait. You show them your little dances, and you show them your little raps and your little stuff, and they jumped on the hook. But at the same time, they said, man, you know what you're talking about. So you bait people in with everything you get, and when you baiting people with everything you get, you give it everything you get. I said at the beginning I wasn't that good, but I wasn't that good at rapping, but I can say what I was doing my doggone best to trying to do it. I wrote the best lyrics that I could at that time. I'm way better now. But even in that, God showed me, even in that, they respected that. The people respected that I was just doing that. So you never know what you can do. Use everything you have and do it at your very best. You have a short time. So, yes, I love this, how you brought it out. Yeah. He we went through the people with talents. Okay, he wasn't using it. So he's gonna take what you got. If you don't use it, you need to use it and give it your very best. Just like King David, one of his wives had a problem with him out there dancing, saying that ain't kingly. I had people used to, I'm saying, Israelites made videos about me rapping on the streets and stuff and saying, look at him, look what he's doing. But see, that's what I'm saying, I don't pay attention to that. I be pop locking. Even my best friend, man, you know, you should just stick to the preach, man. You know, you don't know money, so you dancing and rapping and stuff. My best friend say that, but he don't understand. I use everything I have. I'm just like King David. His wife like Brian said, King David told his wife, oh, you thought that was something? Oh, I'm gonna get even viler than that. Okay, you don't think that was kingly? Okay, check this out. And that's the way I be trying to be. Oh, y'all don't think this is not what Israelites supposed to do? Y'all don't think this is what a priest's going to do? I'm going to keep on pop locking. I'm going to keep on rapping. I'm going to keep on being funny. I'm going to keep on doing those things. So, bro, like I'm saying, I respect the art. I respect your talents. Man, keep up the good work. I yield the mic.
Amen. Father's merciful, bro. Excellent reading today, too, bro. And thanks for giving that testimony. Thank you. Feel good when other people understand what the Lord is trying to show us. You know, man, that's all I got to say about that, bro. You know, I get a mic with that.
Hey, man. I got to tell you, I actually went through Nehemiah growing pains of rapping. And, brother, I got to tell you, he ain't never lied. He ain't never lied. So, you know, in the beginning, it was kind of rough on the ears, but he stuck with it. What got him over is that he knew how to dance a little bit. And he was kind of cute. He could dance, and he's cute. He gets past a certain height around.
Right.
But if you left him alone, put them MC Hammer pants on him, he was in trouble. You know, but now, hey, man, it's all bonus size. You get what I'm saying? So, hey, it is what it is. I can't wait to hear his new stuff, you know. But, hey, Jew, all praise to the Most High, man. I guess the only thing I can add to it is just be your best you all the time. And that way you don't cheat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't cheat
yourself.
That's what you do. So, gang. There's no more hands up, brother, so you got any closing comments, feel free. That street don't fly.
Oh, no, you know, just, you know, it just really, it just, you know, the talents, you know, it's just, you know, it saddens sometimes when, you know, when people, you know, it's like people just so focused on just one area. Like the Lord ain't wise enough to use other areas. You know? The first thing people want to do is stop the music. No, don't stop the music. Hell no, don't stop the music. Because Israel loves music. Why would you stop it? You know? We need to be playing more music and using it for the body of Christ. You know? Or just on anything, on any areas. But in order for us to overcome this issue that we have in, is that we need to learn how to defeat this philosophy of man. You know, because as long as we have people in our ears giving us their philosophy, it's going to be harder to get the work done. But the book says that their mouths must be stopped. I believe the Lord used enough to stop that and to break these chains and yokes and bonds. And to show the people, man, to show out for the Father, man, and stop trying to be all shy and stuff. Go out for the Father. Because he deserves it anyway. I hear the mic.
Hey, man, you, and another note of that, you know, some of us, we're not cut out to be singers, so don't. But if you're a good artist, be a good artist. Some of us ain't cut out to dance, so don't. But if you can sing, sing. You know, hey, do what God gave you, man. And what it is that what we fail to realize when in this walk is that we look at somebody that really got something good, and there's nothing wrong with desiring somebody else's gift. That's a beautiful thing. But it's to desire that gift and to fit it in the package that he already wrapped you in, not to be like him, somebody else. And then you start entertaining that spirit of emulation, trying to be like somebody else or one-up somebody else. Just be your best you.
Man.
You cannot lose. So, hey, man, great precept. Brothers and sisters, you just heard from your brother Isaiah Brown. Out of Peoria with the spirit of meekness and charity Bible study class. Cuckoo! Bringing the drama. Amen. Razor blades and lemon juice.
Oh, hold on a second, Joe. I can't believe it. I didn't even say it this morning. I mean, not this morning, but I didn't say it at the beginning of the lesson. Hey, y'all, grace and peace to the blog talk show, y'all. It's about to be pure razor blades and lemon juice. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
You know what, bro? My dad used to do this thing. His middle finger, he used to thumb my ear when I was on something, and he just take his middle finger, just thumb my ear when I was on something, just straight out of left feet. Boy, you was like 3 feet from the edge. Don't make our all. That's all. So, amen to that. Amen to everyone that's listening and they tuned in. Hope and pray that the Father edified you. We hope and pray that your faith was increased and that you are going to be moving forward in the gospel, being your best, you offering your best all the time, regardless who's watching, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with all that being said, I want to thank our brother Nakomi of the Nation of Peace.
Excellent reading.
Excellent reading and scriptures from the Apocrypha and the book of Jasher, man. And hopefully next time we can be on the same page that lit. But it is what it is. That was a good catch.
Mm-hmm.
Got to work on that. Next time we see that, hey, now we know that there's a difference in some of the text. But, hey, with that being said, great reading, brother. Brothers and sisters, as we say here at the Sound of Living Water, what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.